A couple of carryovers from last week. So last week we read the Shira, the splitting of the sea, and we know that there was the as Yashir said, and then Miriam said a Shira as well, and there was a tremendous outpouring of emotion, and you would say a positive tumult about it. And then the Chazal asks, okay, that's great, he says, but there were other times the sea parted as well. We're going to learn in Sefer Yehoshua that when Yehoshua settled, the Yarden split, and there's a Gemara that says Rav Pinchas ben Yair was traveling and he split the sea. And so it's great, and people, you know, give Shvach v'Haidah, but it's not the same. And so the question is, well, should each one have not received greater accolade? And the Or Chaim HaKodesh says there's a difference. He says the only time HaKodesh Baruch Hu split the sea before Matan Torah was at Yam Suf, when Paro was chasing the Jewish people. He said that was HaKodesh Baruch Hu b'atzmo b'chvodo. That was a Rabbona Shlolem all by himself, basically without an intermediary. And he says, we should know, Yor HaChaim, that once the Torah was given, HaKadosh Baruch Hu now gave the power of splitting the seas to the Chachamim. He said the level of Kedusha that the Chachmei Yisrael, the great Jewish leaders, can attain in their learning and teaching of Torah allows them to split the sea. And he says, that's why when HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it himself, you know, we announce. But when Klal Yisrael does it, it's a little bit more, let's say, subdued. But we should realize the greatness of the rabbis, that they have this power that previously only HaKadosh Baruch Hu had. Excuse me. So this week's Parsha is Parshas Yisro. So, right, and the Parsha opens up on my Chumash. I just got the wrong page. Give me one moment. Because I want to look at the wording specifically. Vayishma Yisro Kohen Midyan Chosein Moshe. Yisro, the Kohen in Midyan, Moshe's father-in-law, heard, Es kol asher aso aleikim l'moshe l'yisro alamoi. He heard about everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had done on behalf of Moshe and the Jewish people. Kohotzias b'nei Yisroel b'mitzroyim. That he, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, took the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. And Rashi tells us, what did he hear? He heard about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving mon to all the Jewish people. He heard about the war with Amalek, and he also heard about the fact that the Yam Suf split. And the next pashut says, Vayikach Yisro. Yisro immediately took Tzipora and Moshe's children, right? Vayavo Yisro, and Yisro came. And so Rabbi Fran says, hold on, let's take some perspective. We know when we read Oz Yashir, it says, It says the great people of Edom, Seir, etc. Everybody heard about Kriyas Yom Tov. This great miracle was heard by everyone, and some people say other waters did some similar splitting, so there was a greater pronouncement of the miracle. But the whole world heard. And he said, the war that Amalek waged on Klal Yisrael was also not a hidden war. Right? They heard about this. So other people heard. But he said, only one person in the world, Vayavo, one person came. Everybody else heard about it. They watched CNN in the evening or whatever means they had there, and they said, ah, good. Oh, another Tower of Babel, whatever they said, but it had no effect on their lives. Yisro, however, stopped in his tracks, and he said, no, this is a total change in the way God conducts the world, and I'm inspired. And Yisro said, if I'm inspired, I've got to move now. There's no time to delay. I cannot allow this enthusiasm to wane. Now, my friend quotes two famous stories. He tells the story that in the yeshiva of Volozhin, which was the first of the Litvishi yeshivas, there was a young Talmud Chacham who seemed to know all of Torah Kula, Kola Torah Kula. He knew everything, he had learned everything. And then, one day, the group of the Chabura were sitting around lunch after they had washed and began eating, and somebody posed a query, a question to this person. And the person said, that's a great question. I got to think, I got to look it up. And his neighbor to the left said, oh, isn't that a Tosvos that's written in some place in the Gemara? And he quoted the Tosvos. And the guy was appalled that he had forgotten the Tosvos. And he said, because of this, I'm going to take upon myself to spend 7 years, all my efforts, other than what I need to eat and sleep, and learning. I never want to ever be in a position where I forget a piece of Torah that I learned. And he immediately left the meal, and he went to the Beis HaMedrash. He forgot the bench. And the Bachurim who watched this didn't know what to do. Right? Should they call him back from benching or not? So they went to the Rosh Yeshiva. And they said, does his commitment to 7 years of complete Torah exempt him from benching? And he said, no. He said, it doesn't, right? And, you know, I can't find such an exemption. But let me tell you one thing, he said. Had he stopped to bench in the interim between benching, beginning to end, his enthusiasm would have waned, and he would have never gotten back to the Beis HaMedrash at that level. And then he tells the story that when the Chafetz Chaim was in Radin one day, the yeshiva received an envelope with 500 ruble, which is a tremendous amount of money. And nobody knew where it came from. Well, the Chafetz Chaim said, we can't accept money anonymously in the yeshiva. And so he had his, I guess, executive director or administrator of the finances go to, you know, make as much effort as possible to discover who the donor was. And after a while, I don't know how, but it says they found a person. And the Chofetz Chaim asked the person to come to see him. And he said to the person, this is unheard of. We don't get this. And the man said, let me tell you the story behind this. He said, I'm a businessman, and I had an opportunity to do a great deal, really a great deal, the deal of my lifetime. And I said to myself, if this deal goes through, I am immediately giving 500 ruble to the Chafetz Chaim's yeshiva. And he said, the deal went through, and I ran immediately to the post office. And the post office was closed. I couldn't get the money. So I said, okay, I'll take care of it tomorrow. And he said, I started to make my way home. And on my way home, I'm saying, 500 rubles is a really nice gift. But hold on. How often does the yeshiva get this kind of money? The yeshiva doesn't even get 250 rubles a week, whatever, in a thing like this. 250 is really a large amount, too. And he said, and then I walked a few blocks and I said, you know what? 125 is also a fantastic gift. And he said, had I walked any further, I probably would have gone down to 50. And he said, I realized that the longer I would spend before I put the money in the envelope and sent it, he said, what would happen is, I would lose my enthusiasm. And he said to the Chafetz Chaim, I immediately took the 500 rubles and I put them in an envelope and I sealed it. And I stood outside the post office till it would open again. I wasn't going to move. And he said, and then I put it anonymously in the mail. And the Chafetz Chaim said, you're a true student of human nature. He says, when something happens that inspires us, when something we realize is extraordinary, if we want it to make an effect, we need action. We need a physical act. Not just promising and not just accepting, but you need action. And that was the beauty of Yisro. That's what Yisro taught everyone about, Yisro taught everyone about acting right at the moment. I'm just looking for a vort that I wanted. I don't see it. If I don't find it inside here, I'll do it out loud. Okay. We look at this parsha, Yisro, and we know that what is the probably most important aspect in this parsha is the giving Matan Torah. Yisro has in it the giving of the Torah. And Chachamim asked the question, that being the case, why is the parsha called Yisro? Now, we could say that the second word, the first verb is Yisro, the proper name, so that's why. But wouldn't the parsha have been appropriately called Nisinas HaTorah, the giving of the Torah. And one of the Mefarshim points out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to teach us a lesson. We know how important Kabbalah HaTorah is in the life, the entire life and in the entire existence of the Jewish people. It's the basically the sustenance that makes Klal Yisroel go. It's the engine. However, there's something else in this world. Gerim. What is a ger? Someone who supposedly decides in some fashion to leave whatever religion they were in, born to, and they become attached to the Rabbona Shel Olam. And when they go through the process of becoming Yidden. And the question is, how did this happen? Like, what's the greater philosophy, the greater way this happened? And we're told that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Avram as the sole nation, and there were still other nations around, there were what Kabbalah calls sprinkles, nitzoisyos, little sparkles of Kedusha in those nations which still existed. Those sparkles of Kedusha in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's master plan had to come back to Klal Yisroel. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed these sprinkles to become the neshamos of special people in these nations. These are people who from the day they were born were destined to become members of Klal Yisroel. Whatever they did in some fashion in their lives allowed them to take the sparkles of goodness, of Kedusha that was left in those nations and bring them back into Klal Yisroel. And that's why Gerim should be held in tremendous esteem by Klal Yisroel. Now, we may want to ask the question, and it's a good question, and I don't have an answer. We know that when it comes to Yichus Dikas things, especially in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, a ger apparently couldn't marry a kohen, right? A female gioras could not marry a kohen and things like that. So somehow they're both super holy and somehow, excuse me, and somehow they need to, I guess what I would say is, be in Klal Yisroel to have that final development of what the special Kedusha that's needed. And that's what the Mefarish says. Another vort from my friend is, he tells a story, a medrash. The medrash says that an individual was walking in the desert area, and he saw these very shiny things that were pearls. He had no notion of what pearls are or what value they had. And so he picked up like 60 pearls that were there, and for whatever reason, he was walking with them. And finally, he met a person, and he said, "Do you know what I have in my hands?" And the person knew what they were, and he wasn't of the greatest honesty in the world? And he said, yeah, these are bangles. You could do something if you put tremendous effort into it. He says, how about if I give you $250 for the lot? And the man said, yeah, sounds like a great deal. And they parted. 2 days later, they both were in the same town. And the fellow sees that the purchaser of the pearls is conducting an auction. And he says, I have three strands of pearls, a smaller, middle, and a larger. And he begins to get bids on it. And all of a sudden, the person who sold them realized what he had had in his hands. And he said, oh my gosh, had I only known what I had when I had it, and had I only utilized it to the extent I could have. And he says, Paro said the same thing about the Jewish people. Paro, when he sent them out, said, what did I do that I sent them out? But one of the Chazal tell us he wasn't saying that I lost my army of bricklayers building these useless cities which would end up in the sand. He said, oh my gosh, what did I have? I had doctors, I had lawyers, I had architects, I had scientists, I had astronomers. The collective brilliance of Klal Yisroel, I had this in my hands. I had them make sand dunes that would basically slime into the ground. What kind of a person am I? And he says that was Paro's biggest charata, his greatest regret. And they say that the lesson to all of us is that there are times that we have certain opportunities, certain advantages, certain possibilities in hand. And the chacham, the wise person, looks at what they can do, how they can use what they have, and they try to maximize that which is in their hands. He says, that's what we have to know. And he says, or my friend says, I am a Rebbe in yeshiva. And he says, I have these young students here. And I always tell them, take advantage of the fact that someone else is paying your bills now, your parents. Get as much knowledge as you can. Do the best, because maximization is always the best route for someone among Klal Yisrael. Okay. I'm going to stop here because I really didn't prepare anything else, because I couldn't tell how long.